Blog Talk Radio.
I know a lot of people here in the U.S., they are looking forward to an extra day for the weekend because this week happens to be President's Day. So a lot of people have an extra day. So I am so excited that you have decided to spend part of this long weekend with us. This is Dynamic Daphne, your host of the A New Day Show. And as you know, the episode on a Sunday deals with life issues and different aspects of life issues. It can be overcoming adversities or reinventing your life or any other empowering stories that one may have in their life and see it fit to share with you. As usual, I welcome your calls, and the number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. I encourage you to call with your questions or remarks. The chat room is also up and running, and if you call in and you want to speak, then follow the prompt, and then I will acknowledge your call. We have one caller there. I want to welcome you to the show. I think you are also calling from Arizona. And we had some people in the chat room, 16546 or 16796. And I welcome you to the show on this beautiful Sunday evening. I think maybe some of you might decide you're having a glass of wine with us. Some might be having dessert, or some of you might just be having my favorite hot beverage, which is green tea. So without any further ado, I want to welcome our honored guest. He's been hanging out in the green room with me, and our guest this evening is Mr. Carl Roberts, otherwise known as the Fitness Angel. Carl, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Pleasure. When I first learned of the name, I said, that is an amazing name for a business, because it speaks volume about who you are. And we are going to get into that later on. But why don't you take a few minutes and tell the listeners who Carol Roberts is?
Well, it's funny, I'm kind of one of those people that you were telling me about it, and I never really thought about it this way until I talked to you and you were saying, hey, well, we're going to do something, with people that reinvent themselves. But I never really thought about it, that I reinvented myself until, mm-hmm. you brought that word up, respect to, changing your career or doing mm-hmm. something that's out of the ordinary and stepping out on mm-hmm. faith and doing something, because basically that's what I did 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be, just to give you, brief synopsis, I was a service technician. I used to live in Baltimore, and mm-hmm. I was a service technician for Baltimore Gas and Electric, and mm-hmm. I did that for like 10 years, and mm-hmm. It's one of those jobs that, you back then, you only got in there one or two ways. One, you just were lucky to get into the company, or mm-hmm. actually, it was a thing where you always referred to the employer or somebody says, hey, let me fill out this application, because there's mm-hmm. thousands of people who wanted those jobs with the
mm-hmm.
utility.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's boyfriend at the time worked there, and he said, "Carol, he said, you want a good job? Mm-hmm. So I can get into into the Baltimore Gas Electric Company." And
mm-hmm.
he did. He got me in there, and I was happy as could be, because back then, jobs were still hard to come by, especially ones like that, and it was mm-hmm. a job that once people got into that particular company. Major utility. Most of the people, you got gone from there one or two ways. You got fired or you retired. It wasn't
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It was a thing where somebody just quit.
Right, right.
For whatever reason. So
mm-hmm.
I stayed. It was okay for the first couple of years. The money was good. The hours were long, and mm-hmm. But it's like, I went into it with that mentality that a lot of people go into secure jobs
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, well, it's a blessing that I got in here. I'm going to retire from here. I'm making good money. The benefits were great. And sometimes we tend to kind of put ourselves in a box. And
mm-hmm.
say, okay, instead of dealing with what we're happy with
mm-hmm.
and with the, we're always looking at how much money we make, and
mm-hmm.
which is great. I love
mm-hmm.
money just like anybody else, but,
mm-hmm.
After 10 years being there,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of decided before that it really wasn't what I wanted to do, but, you listen to your family, you listen to
mm-hmm.
friends, it's like, well,
mm-hmm.
everybody used to say, hey, I wish I could get into this. You're so lucky to have. And don't get me wrong, I was very lucky and blessed, whatever, to get
mm-hmm.
into a company. But,
mm-hmm.
I still wasn't happy. I had money.
Mm-hmm.
I had a home. I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
I was raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
I was, everything was great except for me and how I felt,
right.
Mentally and so forth. So,
mm-hmm.
I was there for 10 years, and, I'd get stressed out, and I'm like, whenever you get up in the morning and you dread getting up going to work and you're just making it through the day, and then you come home and, you feel just as bad when you went to work as you did when you came home. Something's wrong here,
Right.
And I would talk to my friends and family, I said, well, Carol, you can't leave no job like that, it's like, you got all these great benefits. Back then, I was making $50,000-$60,000 a year, which
mm-hmm.
was a lot of money back then.
Right.
But still, mm-hmm. I wasn't happy, I was stressed out, I was
mm-hmm.
irritable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went to my boss, and which was a good friend of mine. And, you know, I said, look, I said, I can't deal with this anymore. I said, you know, I hate coming to work. You know, I can't wait to get off once I get in here. And back then, like I said, I was in utilities, and these basically service technicians. So during the winter hours, wintertime, we went to work like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't get off until, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, we had a cold snap, furnaces were breaking down. I mean, you could work, you know, till the next morning, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you have somebody telling you, no, you can't go home. You know, these people are without heat and everything. So,
right.
And we're paying you all this money and so forth and so on, you know. But, I said, maybe I'm just stressed out and I need to take some time off. So what I did, I said, okay, I'm going to take a leave of absence. I said, hey, I need some time off. I need to think about this. So I took a month off without pay. And I said, you know, and I'll come back after a month. And, you know, maybe, you know, I just need to clear my mind or whatever. I took a month off without pay. And, you know, it was like I woke up in the morning. You know, I wasn't stressed out. You know, I went through the day. And the month I was off, I was going back and forth looking at different options or whatever. But it was like really, you know, I really can't, you know, I said, wow, where am I going to go and make this kind of money and have these kind of benefits, you know? So, you know, that's what I got to thinking about. So, so I went back to work that following month on that Monday morning. And when I got to go back to work that Monday morning, I felt the same way I did, you know, a month ago. I was like, wow. So I said, okay, maybe it's just I'm going back to work. So went back to work. Former day, I'm glad you're back, you know, so forth and so on. And so I worked that day, and when I got off from work, I was like, wow, you know, I took a whole month off, and I feel just as bad as I did a month ago. So I went home after work, and I went to bed, and I got up the next morning, and I said, I can't do this anymore.
You know? Amazing.
Yeah, I went to work the next day. I went in the morning when I was supposed to start work. I went up to my boss, and I'll never forget it. You know, and I said, Bob, I said, I can't do this no more. I said, so I'm quitting. And, you know, and I mean, I told, because old guys used to, you know, be in there in the morning and so forth. They would say it. I said, this is it for me. You know, it's after being somewhere for 10 years. Didn't know what I was going to do. You know, like for jobs back then, you know, making that kind of money were far and few between. You know, and everybody was, well, I was joking, you know.
So
my boss, he said, go back home, Carol. He said, just think about it. He said, I won't even tell him you came in today and come back tomorrow. I said, no. I said, I'm not coming back. I said, this is it. So, so I called Human Resources and, you know, I told the girl there, and I said, look, I'm quitting. So, you know, she said, okay, well, come down here. She said, people just don't quit here like that. She said, something's got to be wrong. You know, I didn't hear something's wrong. I ain't been here, you know.
Something is wrong. You just don't know what, you know, you can't put a label on what's wrong. And, you know, I'm so thankful that you took the time to lay the foundation the way you are, because there are a lot of Coral Roberts who will be listening to this segment. But I want to piggyback on a point you brought out earlier on in the dialogue about your sister's boyfriend getting you the job. I hope she married him, did she?
No, but they're still friends and all, so.
Oh, man, he was working it. He was making sure he did good by her. I'm telling you. You know, Carol, I listened to you and you laid out that foundation, and there's so much of my story that's intertwined in the little bit that you have said. Because for years I went through the same thing in my vocation as a nurse. I did it well, with excellence, but there was still that void inside of me. And at the time, I could not put a label on it. I just knew something was missing, and I kept searching and kept on yearning and yearning and yearning. So I can relate to what you are saying.
Right.
And you know, our loving families and dear friends, and they always think that we are crazy because you're leaving that high paid job with benefits.
Right.
You know? And they can't see it. And yet they don't understand when you are on the wrong path.
Right.
And money is essential to everything we do. It is a substance that we can't do without. But when we trust God to take us on the path which He created us for, and we follow through on that, the substance follows us, and it
right.
cannot stay away from us. So even when that human resource person was telling you that people don't just quit there are many there who kill the dream that God gave them to fulfill because
right.
of good money and the wonderful benefits, they die without their dreams being
exactly.
manifested to anybody. And this is why we need to listen to our hearts and not our heads, because our heads play continuous tricks on us based on what society wants from us.
Right.
You know? So you went to human resource because she invited you down and she offered you a cushion seat and everything. And she tried to talk to you.
Like, the thing about it was, you know, I was one of the tops at what I did. So, you know, it was hard for them to understand that. I mean, it wasn't like there was a chance of me being fired or I had bad, you know, reviews or, you know, you know, every month. I mean, I had, you know, I was one of the top technicians they had in there. And so, I mean, it was like, well, how can you be this good to be so unhappy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it, you know, I'm going to always strive to be the best I can be, whatever I want it to be. But at the same time, if you're not happy, you know, that's more important to me. So,
You know something, Carol? A lot of people are in jobs that they are not happy for, and they oftentimes die there. And
right.
the reason this happens is because they never learned the lesson that they are there to learn. I tell people, when you are lingering in a job that you are not happy, it's because there are lessons you need to learn. So learn them quickly so you can get promoted out of there. Because
right.
Father is faithful. And when he say, okay, Daphne learned that lesson, now let me move her. But if you are there doing a sloppy job, he's thinking, I can't move her out of here. Because
right.
she's going to go into that next position doing the same sloppy work. And that's
right.
the mistake people make. Instead of giving their best on the job, they become slackers. And because of that, they are not rewarded out of the job. So it doesn't matter whether you're happy or unhappy. Give your best always.
Exactly.
Because that is your ticket to move out of there.
Exactly.
That is your ticket to move out of there. So when you went in and you quit, and everybody think you're crazy.
my family thought I had lost. They were ready to commit me. You did what? You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a mortgage. I had, a car payment, and the whole nine yards. But I wasn't happy. So.
And what was the next month after you quit? You took a month off, sabbatical off. and you went back for one day. While you were on sabbatical, you felt great. No stress, nothing. You felt amazing. Then you went back for one day, and the same feeling came back.
Right.
And you figure, it's time for me to get out of here. So I'm getting out as quickly as I can.
Yeah, the same day.
Yeah, and what happened the month in between after that when you took your exit? What happened?
I was happy, but now it was like, oh Lord, what am I going to do now? And you know, so I mean, it took me probably because I mean I went and took two or three different other jobs, you know, to make ends meet while I was trying to, I guess, find myself. And I actually moved to California, and didn't know what I was doing out there, but I moved out there. I moved with some friends of mine out there, and and actually stayed out there for about 8 or 9 months, and you know, did different things out there, and that's actually where I got into fitness at. You know, a friend of mine, the building I was living in had a gym in it, and you know, there was another trainer that worked, you know, down there, and you know, he said, "Well, Carol," he says, "why don't you, you know, start, you know, get into the training." He said, "You're a real personable person." He said, "I think you do well in it." So I hung around with him and got into it. And then my son at the time was, son and daughter was in school. So he started having some problems in school. So I moved back to Baltimore. I was supposed to be coming back for 2 weeks and try to straighten out in school. Well, you know, he was getting in trouble and everything. I found he was getting in trouble in school and stuff because he was kind of rebelling because I wasn't there. And so I ended up staying home. I said, I mean, my clothes and everything was still out in California. And I'm like, geez, well, I can't leave here now. So I ended up going, I applied to the job with Bally's. It was called Bally's Holiday Spa back then. And got an apprenticeship, kind of like working as a trainer, you know, for them. And make a long story short, you know, learned the training business, and I actually built a following up there, but I didn't want to work for somebody else. I got an apartment. I turned my apartment into a gym. I bought some equipment in my apartment, and I started training the people at home.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing led to another. I actually opened up a couple of clubs in Baltimore and did real well with that. Eventually got tired of the bad weather because I had lived in bad weather all my life. And it's kind of funny because it's like I've always been a person – that everybody can't do what I do, okay?
As far as
being able to pick up and leave security to go someplace else and be happy. I ended up actually, after my kids got older and everything, I came to Arizona. A friend of mine that lives out here, so, well, Carol, why don't you come out and visit? Because they had been bugging me for years to come out and visit them, right? So, once again, I went out there. I left Baltimore. It was like 12 degrees. It was when we had a real cold winter. I got out the plane to Phoenix. It was like 70 degrees and sunny.
I love Arizona,
I'm like, wow, this is nice, you know? So
I can cope with this weather.
So, I mean, now when I left Baltimore, I closed my big gym and opened up a personal training studio up on Liberty Road, and I would train, you know, a couple of people, you know, an hour in there. So, I mean, I had a good business going. I had a Corvette, I had a townhouse and everything. Once again, I had a super nice job. I had a nice income. I was doing what I wanted to do. So, I went out and stayed a week with my buddy out in and his wife out in Arizona, I'm like, wow, this is, I can see myself living here, right? So once again, I'm like, I can be happier here, you know.
Wow.
But I'm thinking to myself, I said, but, you know, I have a business and everything back in Baltimore. You know, Jerry, I said, I'd have to start over again. So
wow.
But when I left Phoenix and got on the plane, I was like, this is where I need to be. So I got on the plane, went back home, and I knew what I was going to do when I got back home. I said, I'm moving to Phoenix. Since I got off the plane, you know, I got back home, and I said, I'm moving to Phoenix. I said, that's where I want to be. So, I mean, I had a good client base, and I just happened to have a young lady that I used to train that wanted to get into her own business. You know, I had actually trained her. And so I called her up. I said, Tanice, I said, look, are you still interested in, you know, going personal training? She said, yeah. I said, well, what if I could sell you my business, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I knew that, because she used to come in when I was sick or whatever and train some of my clients for me.
Right, so,
I mean,
so she had
the skills. I knew she had the right personality. She would take care of the people just like I would, you know, so forth and so on. So, I mean, so she said, yeah. So, make a long story short, she ended up buying my business from me. And, you know, she took my client base. I talked to all my clients. I said, look, I said, you know, I need to be someplace else. I said, you know, my niece is going to. And I brought her in, I let her train all of my clients that I had, you know, for a week and everything. All my clients said, well, Carol, yeah, you know, they said, you know, she's fine and everything. So I knew I was leaving my clients in
good
hands.
Yes.
I heard it working out for me because I said, I'm not leaving all these people that have taken care of me, you know, just, you know, leaving them. So I've always made sure that my people were taken care of.
Yeah, and that's important.
So she came and worked with me for a month at my club and everything, and 3 months later, I moved to Phoenix.
Wow, talk about taking a risk on one's self. You know, a lot of people are so afraid of fear.
Right.
False evidence appearing real. But as I listen to your story, Carol, I don't hear that coming out of you. You believe in Carol. You believe in the skills and talents that God has placed and carved inside of you. And you decide to take a risk and you go out there and you make things happen. I want to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I don't like to say I took a risk. I like to say I had faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if I didn't have faith that God was going to provide for me, wherever I've turned around and done this stuff, you know, I couldn't. Because that's what I think, you know, when you say a risk is saying I believed in me only. You know, it was more that I had faith, you know, that God was going to provide for me no matter where I was. And it wasn't easy. I mean, when I moved to Phoenix, just like when I came back to Baltimore, you know, it's like there were times when I'd be down to, you know, like a couple of dollars in my checking account, you know. And all of a sudden a client would appear. I mean, I could tell you some stories that would, you know, knock your socks off as far as, I mean, I'd have like, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 due at the end of the month, and I'd have $2 in my checking account.
I believe you.
Before the end of the month came, you know, I would, you know, the money would be there plus more to, you know, to take care of myself.
To meet the needs, yes.
Right.
I believe you because it was just I think it was Thursday or Friday. I was speaking to a friend of mine, and I said to her, you know, when I begin to tell people all the stories of my life, they are going to think I'm making it up. I said, you know, I'm putting you on warning that I will need to call you to confirm all of these because they are going to think I'm crazy and I'm not telling the truth. But I said, you know, each and every one of those stories are accurate. And And I hear everything you say and affirm it. And this is why one's spirituality is so important. Because when you are going out on the limb, you know, even when that branch is so slender and it's bending all the way to the ground, you know that you're not going to be falling off. And
right.
Even if you slip there, you will be caught. You will be caught. We have a caller on. Let me see if this caller wants to say something, and then we will continue
okay.
back with our dialogue. Caller, your last four digits are 4785. Do you want to say something? If so, just state your name and where you're calling from and what your question is, please. Okay, well, I guess not. All right, so let us, I want to ask you this question. Prior to your friend introducing you to the workout, were you someone that was into exercising and all of that?
I mean, I've always been into, you know, taking care of myself, but as far as looking at the fitness industry as a career, no.
Right.
So, I mean, it's you know, God will put you in the place he thinks you should be in one way or another. So, like I said, I never thought in the wild, my wildest dreams I'd be, you know, doing what I'm doing and that'd be successful at it. So, I mean, and I mean, like I said, I've been times where, you know, you do question God, but about why he puts you in certain situations, but at the same time that you're questioning him, you have to wait for him to answer you in his time, as opposed to him answering you like you should. Because I've gone out and did other things because I said, oh, well, I'm not going to be successful at this, and I stopped doing it for a while and went and did something else and was horrible at it. I have friends that will tell you, I said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of waiting for the breakthrough and so forth. But, you know, it's like when we choose to go on our own path and, you'll know where you're supposed to be.
Carol, why do you think it is such a challenge for one to wait for the breakthrough?
Because, I mean, we're human beings. We're impatient. You know, we want it today. It's just like with what I deal with mostly women that are trying to lose weight and tone up and so forth. I have so many women that said, okay, you know, I don't want to wait to lose this weight. So they'll go get, you know, the stomach stapling, the bariatric surgery and so forth. They drop the weight real fast and everything, and they're coming back to me anyway, you know, a year later, because they didn't want to wait and do it the right way. You know, everybody wants a quick fix, you know.
Everybody
and,
wants a microwave result now. Yeah, everybody
right.
wants it. Put the popcorn in, bomb, popcorn,
right.
bomb. It's ready. And then this is how it's shameful, however, but this is the way majority of society lives their life. Everybody wants it quick, you know?
Right.
I'm from the area, no pain, no gain. And
right.
and pain in this sense, it's not a negativity, but it's like paying your dues, learning the lessons that need to be learned so
right.
that you can move on. Move
exactly.
on to the next plateau in your life. What made you work with specifically the female gender, right?
Yeah, probably 98% of my clients are women that have wanted to lose weight, you know, and tone up. So I deal with a lot of people that a lot of trainers don't want to deal with because they come with issues, whether it be a lot of them have picked the weight up because of bad relationships, because, you know, or something to where, I mean, when you're dealing with women that have weight issues, it's usually self-esteem issues you have associated
with
it.
That's right.
You know, you have to be able to, I mean, I've gone to some clients' homes that have just started working out and everything. And if you get to them and they're crying when they open the front door, you know, you can't turn, you know, this specific, you know, clientele, you can't turn around and say, oh, well, see, you're having a bad day today, so, you know, I'll be back tomorrow, or let's reschedule, you know. You know, I've tried to say, okay, well, what put you in this mood, you know? And it could be because there's, you know, because of their weight issues, you know, you walked in. I mean, and the thing about it is, like I said, you have to be able to deal with the emotional side of exercise when you're dealing with the clientele that I do. And a lot of trainers, that's all they're going to do is they want to come in and train. They don't want to sit down. And that's why Bridget Simmons was such a big phenomenon with dealing with women. As you saw, like, on TV with everything, I mean, he'd sit down and cry with them. You know?
That's right. It's like peeling back the onion. You know,
right.
You got to pull back because
you have to be able to do.
It is never what it appears to be until you start peeling, that onion, you are not going to get to the core of what really is the cause. Because I go through the same thing as a personal development coach. I go through the same thing, you know. I'm a married counselor, I'm a therapist, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm everything.
Right.
And people don't understand. I was telling one lady, she wanted to be a coach, and then she began working with me as her coach. And after the third session, she said to me, I don't think coaching is for me.
Right.
She said, I am not able to listen like you listen. I just want to get to it. I said, but I said, unless I peel this onion back, and I said, what I'm doing for you is what you'll need to do for your clients and more. Because I said to her, I have not even scratched the surface with you yet. Because I'm peeling back and I'm peeling back and I'm peeling back. And I say, you don't have to tell me. I know I haven't gotten to it yet. And a lot of people look on the things that you do or I do and they say, oh, it's the money. But unless you can give people the service that they need, you are not doing what is right for them. People will call me and ask me how much it costs for coaching. I say, I don't know. I have no idea if I'm the coach for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what you need. I don't know what your issues are. So before I can answer that question, I need to find out what are your needs. What do you need?
Right.
And get into that. And that's why a lot of people, you go to their homes and they have bought everything that's advertised on late night TV to lose weight.
Yeah, tell me about it. I see it every day.
Every gadget and everything that they can pop and swallow, they got it, you know. And they can open a store and sell all these things, and it's not bad. Because nobody wants to spend the time.
Right.
Yes. What are some of the challenges you encounter working with women? We know we spoke about self-esteem issue already. Anything else?
Well, that's basically part of the issue. Just like I said, working, you know, and you've got to be able to, I mean, especially when you're talking about women that have gained weight because of bad relationships and they've replaced, you know, the love of their husband or their boyfriend with food and everything, they've gained all this weight and so forth. And or just in abusive relationships where, you know, the husbands or boyfriends or what have you, they want them to be fat and out of shape and everything, so other guys won't look at them, you know. And they'll say, oh, you look fine and everything while you're sitting at home. They're running the street with the little, you know, little girl.
Size zero girl.
You're sitting home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of these women, you know, they haven't heard somebody telling them, hey, you know, this is about you and you look nice today and, you know, good job. And, you know, when you start losing weight, you know, they're so used to hearing negative stuff.
Right.
And then here I come and they're starting to hear positive stuff again. You know, sometimes they can take hearing all that positive stuff as, you know, say, wow, you know, I'm hearing something positive from a man again. And I've had some clients that have taken a lot of positive stuff and said, oh, well, that would be a nice catch for me, whatever, you know, because he tells me all the things that my boyfriend or my husband, you know, never told me before, whatever. So, I mean, you do have some times where a client will misconstrue your kind words and nice words, and they'll hear that as, oh, this person's interested in me. And, you know, of course, like I said, they haven't heard that from a man for a long time. So, I mean, you have to be able to deal with those type of situations also,
you know,
without it hurting them again, you know.
Yeah, and that can oftentimes get, I'm going to speak with about the female gender. That can get them into hot water. And this is why it is so important to do what you do for yourself. And it's
right.
Not that you are being selfish. But until you can totally love you are not in a position to love or give to anybody else. And
right.
This is why a lot of people going out there and doing things that's not right to themselves, because you got to understand you will never be able to satisfy somebody. You go
right.
And you cut off 3/4 of your body and you come back and they're still not happy. You go and you cut the other 1/4 off and they're still not happy. So we need to find the position we are in for ourselves so that we can keep ourselves on a pedestal.
Right. It's funny because, you know, I hear something in my class and I always tell, and I tell my clients too, you know, Tino, the football player, used to say, you know, he had to say, I love me some me. And you know, so I mean, I've always used that, like in my classes and everything. I tell people, okay, at the end of the class, you know, you have to look at it. You know, you don't look at it as in a selfish way. I said, oh, you always should get up in the morning and say, hey, I love me some me. Because
that's right.
You have to love you before anybody else can love you. And I mean, I'm guilty of this too, you know, because years ago, I was a love junkie, and it was like, I was always loving a woman. And if that woman didn't accept my love or whatever, I mean, I was distraught. I mean, I was depressed and everything. So, you know, I mean, even, you know, me, so I had to learn after I went through a bunch of bad relationships and so forth and putting everybody else before me, I had to say, hey, I need to love me before I can love somebody else. You know, so
that's
when that person walks away or is not my wife anymore, I'm not going to fall apart.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because you are still intact.
Right.
And this is what people need to understand and begin to embrace. Because when you are so sure of who you are, you're not going out searching to
right.
find love and to find yourself in somebody else. Instead,
exactly.
When you enter into a relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship or a platonic one, you're adding value to that relationship. It's like, you know, they say you go into partnership in a business. People want to know what you come to the table with. And it's the same thing in a relationship. Don't be going in a relationship looking for love. You bring
right.
you some love with you. You need to have an overflow that person is going to get. You're not seeking to fill you up because you go with surplus. I want
right.
to take this opportunity to welcome Faith Believer to the chat room. Thank you for coming and spending this Sunday evening. I'm in conversation with the fitness angel, and we thank you for joining the conversation. And if you have a question, we would love for you to call in 646-915-8166. Or if you type it there in the chat, we will read it for you. So, yeah, we talk about all the different things why women can hold the weight on. And you hit it right on the nail on the head, because that is one of the, those are two of the greatest reasons why women are holding on to their weight, and they're going in depression and all of that. So we got to embrace who we are. We have to love ourselves. And on, in the same token, we got to be able to assess ourselves, knowing that when we mess up, that same excitement that we look in that mirror to say, I love me, got to still say, I love Daphne today, but Daphne messed up in this area.
Right.
And I have to work on that. It's good when others tell us, but it is more powerful when we can do the self-assessment in order to move along.
Right. And especially, you know, with women in relationships, if you learn to live without a man first, and be happy, you know, living without a man on your own for a while, and it doesn't make it as hard if somebody does come into your life and you love them or whatever, you know, something happens in a relationship and they leave. You know, you say, hey, well, they're gone, because I was in like a 4-year relationship after I went through a bunch of bad ones, and once I got to love me some me and everything, it was kind of strange, because before I learned to love me when a relationship ended. I mean, I was like a mess. I was, you know, depressed and crying. I listened to love songs, and, you know, I would be like, what's the day about? Yeah, another sad love song. Yeah, I don't want to hear. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was, yeah. And so when I finally learned that, and I went through this other relationship where I was loving myself, but loving her also, and, you know, the relationship didn't work, and I actually broke the relationship off with this young lady. I mean, she was. I'll never forget it. She was crying, I was crying. I said, look, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work. You know, I love you, but, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, we can't get along with them, so we need to, you know, end this relationship and everything. And she was crying and screaming. And she said, how can you just end it like that? You know, after 4 years, and you not crying, and you said, woman, you must have been loving me from the beginning, because you...
She took, Carol, she took over your old role.
It was so funny, because I was like, wow, that used to be me. You know?
That used to be you, yes, yes. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. We can, you know, that's why we need to be so thankful each day we wake up, because it's an opportunity for us to learn about who we are. And because all our successes and accomplishments in life strongly depends on how we can deal with ourselves.
Right.
Because when we can deal with ourselves honestly, then everything else falls into place.
Right.
You can't fool yourself, because when you try to do that, people see through you. Because if you're fooling yourself and then you're fooling other people, they are going to see through you. So it's actually just yourself you're fooling. Guest 20816, welcome to the show. We are in conversation with the fitness angel, and we are crossing all over here. We are going in some directions that we didn't know we are going to go into. And that's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. When it's not about you, the
right.
dialogue is going to flow where God wants it to go. So give us a call, 646-915-8166. Let's talk now, Carol, about the fitness angel. What a powerful name. How did you create that name?
Well, actually,
it wasn't
a name that I created. Actually, it was years ago. It was a lady that I used to train, and she came to me. One of the walking wounded women out there that went through a bad relationship. They gained all this weight and so forth, and was depressed, and just was fed up with everything. And she came, and I worked with her, and she started losing her weight, and started feeling better about herself, and got up in the morning and looked forward, to moving on and getting into, another relationship and so forth and so on. So she came to me one day and she said, Carol, when I came to you, she says, I was so broken and, she said I was depressed and everything. And she said, I just didn't know what to do. And she said, you gave me hope. She said, you helped me lose this weight. She said, when I was crying, I'd come in here and I'd cry, and you never once said, I need to come back another day and so forth. And so she says, you know what you are to me? She says, you are my fitness angel.
And, what a powerful statement. Wonderful.
So that's where the name came from.
Carol, there's a question in the chat room. And before I read the question, I want to preface it by saying, neither Carol nor myself, we are not relationship experts. However, we will answer your question based on our personal opinion. The question is, how can one begin to repair that broken heart before over into another relationship? I guess they're asking before you take it over into another relationship. Carol, give your 25 cents and then I'm going to give my 5 cents.
Like we talked about earlier, before you can do that, one thing you got to let that other relationship, you look at what good things came out of that relationship. I mean, I think what we do a lot of times when a relationship ends is because it's ending, we tend to think about all the bad things that happened in that relationship as opposed to the good things. It's like, okay, well, yeah, we had some good times and look at all the good times, but, it didn't work out. And look at the good parts of that relationship. Because, I mean, just because a relationship ends doesn't mean that you were a bad person or the other person was a bad person. It depends on what... Why the relationship ends? I mean, if they cheated on you or something like that, that's one thing. But, I mean, still, you had to get to a lot of good in that relationship, at some time in that relationship. But, when it ends, don't dwell on the bad, because this guy cheated on you or what have you. Say, okay, I'm leaving because you cheated on me or I can't trust you anymore. But at the same time, say, okay, but we did have some good times, but now it's time to move on. And also, but like I said, it gets back into, okay, you have to learn to love yourself. So, before you can actually, venture into another relationship, make sure you're okay with you.
Right.
Before you venture into another relationship. So if it does end, another one ends, you always, have you, and you can walk away from, any relationship that you get into for any reason, but still be happy.
Thank you,
Carol. That's my thing on, learn to love you before you can love somebody else.
Faith believer, I think you've been listening to my show for a while, and you probably know I'm an avid advocate for journaling. And a journal needs to be a part of everyone's life. And when you end that relationship or when your heart got broken, you need to start journaling about that relationship. You journal the lessons you learned from the relationship. You journal the advantages that you got from that relationship. What were the high points of that relationship, both from your perspective and from the other person's contribution and perspective? Then you have clarity on that. Then the next thing you will do is to now journal and design the next relationship you want to go into. You are going to lay out the inventory of the things that you're entering this relationship with. This is what I'm taking into this relationship. This is what I'm taking. This is what I'm taking. After you have your inventory, then you will lay out the list of what are you looking to attract based on what you have. So you are not going naked in the next relationship hoping for the person to add all those other things to you, but you are already going with a golden platter, and you have your expectations of what you want to attract. And then, after you have that out, you're going to see things fall into place. You must love you until you begin to love you totally. You are not going to have the right person. And as I say, I'm going to say it again, I'm not an expert in the area of relationships, but I think the 63 years I've spent on this life, I have some personal things, and I know what works for me. So, yes, the healing process is important, faith believer, because a lot of people keep running from one bed to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, to another. From one healthy anatomy to another, to another, to another. And that's not what relationships are about. I think that bed piece is supposed to be the last thing after you know who you are. But a lot of people are running, giving up some nookie and think that they're going to keep the relationship. And that ain't doing it. So they got to work on themselves and find out, what area do I need to brush up on in order to go in there? So therefore, like Carol said, when that relationship ends, you are still intact. You are still intact. But taking inventory is very, very, very important. So that's my two cents. And I hope that kind of help you a little bit. So, Mr. Carroll, until somebody else asks us another question, or until someone calls in, I want to welcome guests 21, 497, and 28, 106 to the show. I was privileged to participate in one of your sessions today, Carol. My friend Trish shared with me the link, and I was privileged to participate in one of your sessions today. That's a unique thing that you're doing, and a lot of people think because they're not wearing the zero sweatpants and things like that and spandex, they can go to the gym or whatever. And doing it inside of your home, what a comfortable thing to do. They are in their surroundings.
Right.
And it's the place that they are comfortable with. So how did you come up with that idea, and how are people buying into that?
Well, you know, like I said, it's basically something that, you know, that I just started doing, you know, for the past couple of weeks, because I found a good platform for it. But,
yes.
You know, when you deal with the type of people that I deal with training, a lot of us, you know, don't want to go into the gyms because, you know, they're size 24 or whatever. And it's so funny that, you know, because I do mostly in-home training other than the classes that I do here in Phoenix. You know, they'll, you know, you go into somebody's house and they'll say, well, I want to get in shape, you know, to go to the gym. You know, it's like, that's what you're supposed to be going to the gym for anyway, is lose weight and get in shape. But for some strange reason, and I think it's, you know, mainly it's because a lot of the clubs out here, now the fitness clubs, have turned into more of a meeting place or a hookup place.
Yeah, social gathering.
Right, as opposed to what they were originally intended to be, which was, you know, for people to get in shape. Because you know how many, you know, women I've heard say, oh, you know, I got to lose some weight before I can go to the gym. You know, it's like, okay. So, you know, so you know, doing the online thing, it was a way for the people that couldn't afford, I mean, because personal training is not cheap. So, I mean, it was a way to, for me to give my services to people, you know, at an affordable rate, but still getting that interaction with me. And then, you know, I've lived two or three different places. I mean, I've lived in California. I've lived in Baltimore most of my life. So, I mean, it was a way for the people that I trained in, you know, different places can still have me come home and train them.
Into their home.
Right,
that's amazing. And wherever you are over the world, it is still an opportunity for you to take advantage of the fitness angels. That's a powerful thing. That is a powerful thing. What if any advice you would give to the person who has never worked out and they just give up and think it's not for me? I want to welcome 21972 to the chat. What, if any, advice, or if not advice, for the person who has not been doing any kind of a workout for fitness, Carol, what kind of a checklist would you have them create for themselves to make sure they get on a plan?
Well, the first thing is to go to your doctor and get a checkup before you start any kind of, you know, exercise routine. So, I mean, you know, that's the first thing I always tell people to, you know, go get it. If you haven't had a good physical in you know, in the past year or whatever, go to the doctors and make sure it's safe for you to start an exercise program. And then that doctor clears you or whatever, you know, start off slow, you know, take slow steps, you know, do walking for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, get with a trainer that knows, you know, knows your issues. And that's another big thing. If you're a woman or a man that wants to lose weight, make sure you get with a trainer that's worked with, you know, that type of clientele, because you don't know how many, you know, people I've had that trainers have scared them to death because, you know, they take them in, they beat them up, and then they can't walk for 2 days, and they never come back to the gym or use a trainer or whatever. So, I mean, my main thing is for somebody that needs to lose weight, get with a trainer that's experienced and, you know, with working with, you know, people that are trying to lose weight, because it takes a special person to work with, you know, people like that, and where they're not hurting themselves. They're making sure they don't, you know, starting off slow. Just don't go into a lot of these gyms and say, hey, you know, you know, because a lot of the gyms, the trainers that are working in them, are people that just needed a job. They come in and take them through a quick so-called in-house training session.
Orientation.
I stay out of gyms because when I go in and see what these trainers are doing to these people in these gyms, it's like, you know, because it's what I do, you know, it's like I have to go over and say something to them and they get pissed off with me. But, you know, it's atrocious. And you see why people never come back to the gyms, you know.
You know, so, they say Rome was not built in a day. And I think it's the same thing for fitness and weight loss. We didn't get it on overnight, so why are we rushing to get it off overnight, you know?
And I tell anybody, you know, give yourself, you know, at least 3 to 6 months when you're starting on any kind of, if you're going to be doing it the right way anyway. I mean, you can always starve yourself to death. You can drop a bunch of weight right away, and then it's going to come back double. You know, so you have to be patient with it. You know, a pound a week, start off, you know, set a goal of losing a pound a week. I mean, when AC Lottie's advertising lose 10 pounds in a week, lose 20, it's crazy. So, you know, set your goals at, okay, say, I'm going to lose a pound a week.
And if you lose two pounds a week,
you know. I mean, you ain't got to work real hard to lose a pound, you know, but, you know, so if anything, set your standards, your weight loss standards low, so when you don't reach them, you know, it's like if you set it at a pound a week and you lose 2 pounds, you know, you still don't feel bad, you know.
That's right, because especially...
I'm trying to lose 10 pounds this week, you know, and then you only lose a pound. It's like, oh, crap, I've been always working. I've only lost 1 pound, you know.
And you think you're a failure. You think you're a failure.
Right.
Wonderful. Carol, why do you think it's important for entrepreneurs to have an active participation in a fitness regime?
Well, I mean, it's not only, you know, entrepreneurs, it's anybody. You know, the goal is to live longer, you know, and to be around for your kids and so forth. I mean, it that's important no matter what you're doing, you know. And you see a lot of people who come to me and say, hey, Carol, I'm going to a class reunion, or I'm going to be in a wedding in 2 months and I need to lose all this weight. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not even thinking about, well, you know, don't you have kids? You know,
one-shot deal.
It's more important to lose the weight so you can see them in their wedding dress as opposed to your friend in a wedding dress, you know. I mean, I have the most ridiculous reasons for people wanting to lose weight other than the right reason, which is, you know, you want to live longer, you know, to be around for your kids, for yourself, not just to get in a dress or, you know, because you got a class reunion coming up or whatever, you know.
I ask about entrepreneur because that's my focus. My show focuses on the empowerment, inspiration, and information of entrepreneurs. And I ask that question because I want us as entrepreneurs to understand that unless we are taking care of who we are, we are not yet successful. And success and wealth, our wealth is not only about money. Wealth is about spirituality. It is about health and fitness. It's about nutrition. It's about all of those things. Wealth and success is a total package.
Right.
You cannot have one part without the other. And all of us, we are all a work in progress.
Correct.
And we just have to keep at it. Keep at it, as Carol said, you know, a little at a time. You know, don't set those big goals where you know you're going to be feeling badly about yourself when nothing happens. You know, take it one step at a time. Take it one step at a time. Carol, we have 20 minutes remaining in this show. I don't know how much more time you can spend. Time certainly go by when the dialogue is great.
Does anybody have any questions or anything, or you have any more?
I can continue in the dialogue. I will, when they put any more questions in, I will call, I will read the question for you. And we have a caller in the chat room. Caller, your last four digits are 4785. Just raise your hand if you have a question or a remark. If you are someone who is practicing, if you're a client, or let's hear from you and hear what your experience has been. Carol, one of the devastation of our society is obesity among not only adults, but our dear young people. How do you see America combating that problem?
It's a big thing now with kids. I know when we were coming up, we had, physical education in school. We had, we had to go out on the playgrounds. You had your recess time. And, phys ed used to be a required subject all through elementary school. And the first 2 years of high school, I believe, we had to take phys ed. So, I think that's coming back more now. And, like with all the president's programs and, you're getting kids a lot more into being healthy. It's going to take a long time to get back to where it was when we did, because you have all these video games. But if you've noticed now also, a lot of the video games are starting to be more interactive, where with the dance video games, and so that they're bringing out a lot more interactive health games. With the Wii and so forth, to help these deaf kids that are so hooked on video, instead of them sitting there and playing with a controller, have the Wii where they actually, and I'm telling you, a lot of those Wii games, especially the tennis and the bowling and the, it's a good workout. They've got I played one of the boxing game ones where you hold the controllers in your hands, you get some serious workouts with them, so.
Yeah, I know one lady broke her, I think she broke her ankle playing the tennis. And I said, I didn't know. I know you so long. I didn't know you played tennis. She said, no, it's the Wii and the computer. I didn't know about it. So that's a good thing, because young people had become couch potatoes.
Exactly.
With all these games, there's no activity. I'm from the era where our toys were made from hand out there on sticks and tin, and we are outside running and pushing that, and that's our car. That's, I'm from Jamaica, and that's how we grew up, and we were outside enjoying what's outside. Kids now, they don't want to be outdoors. They don't want to be active, that they don't want to take. So when I see young people who is outside and active, I'm excited about it. The other thing that is really rising among our young people is they are so diet conscious now. There are so many young people who are not eating meat, and I applaud them. Because it simply means that they are conscious about what's going inside their mouth.
Right.
And we are all a work in progress. But I think if we keep at it, and each one will encourage one, we will get better in this area. I was so... because I'm not a consistent exercise person. And I'll have to begin doing better. But that exercise this evening and the participation, I felt something. And I'm thinking, I don't have to get stressed out about going to the gym. Right here at home, I can be doing something. It is just knowing what and how to do it. Because
right.
I think a lot of people, they don't know. As I was reading in one of your, I think it's your newsletter or somewhere on one of your sites or something, that people go out and buy these expensive equipments and they think that the equipment, you know, just bringing it in the house and setting it up and they look at it, they're going to be just feeling so good. But it
right.
takes more than the equipment, you know. It
oh,
takes
yeah,
a lot.
I mean,
you have to be motivated about where you want to go.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people's houses I go to for training. And, you know, they have all the equipment. They have the treadmills, they have the weights and everything, but they've got clothes all over them. They become expensive clothes. You know.
Or they still cover over with the plastic for no dust
in the late night. I had one guy that, one of the few guys that I've trained on, John, I used to train him and his wife, but I mean, you could, they put every exercise gadget off of TV that you could imagine, and everything was out in their garage. I mean, I think they could open up their own online store with all of this. They had bought offline.
They can sell them back on eBay. Carl, why,
yeah, exactly.
before we go into closing dialogue, would you please take this time to tell people how they can get in touch with you, please?
If they want to email me, they can email me at Carol, CARROLL, at justlikemefitness.com. That's my email address. And then, of course, I'm on Edufire. That's where my online training is. So if they go to Edufire, that's EDUFIRE.com, and I'm a tutor on there. They can click on the classes, and they'll see one of my classes. But, like I said, I'm on Facebook, the Fitness Angel, on Facebook, so I put stuff up on there also. But like I said, the best way to get in touch with me to find out is just to email me at carol@justlikemefitness.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to welcome guest 22979 to the chat and encourage you to go to the archive at the end of the show and listen in. And mark the show favorite so you can be informed as to who my guests are. I want to, before I invite Carl to do his closing statement, I want to remind you to join me on Wednesday mornings between 10 and 12 Eastern Standard Time when the episodes there deals with the education, information, and the empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. And the Sunday segments of the show deal with inventing your life, overcoming adversities, or any other empowering stories that you may have. Carol, would you like to summarize our conversation? What would you... just highlight the thoughts you want to leave the listeners with, please.
The main thing is, like I said, I deal with exercises, to make sure that you get into some kind of exercise program, and to start off slow, get with somebody that, you know, if you're dealing with obesity, get with somebody who knows how to deal with people that are trying to lose weight and tone up the right way. And the main thing, like I said, is when you get up in the morning and before you go to say, hey, I love me some me. And I mean, mm-hmm. I say, you know, I love me some me. Don't take that as, when some people hear that, it's like, oh, well, you're self-centered or egotistical or whatever. It's not meant to be that way. But it's like we were talking earlier, you know, you can't love somebody else unless you love yourself first, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, practice, you know, learn to love yourself. And like I said, as far as exercise, get into a good exercise program. And, mm-hmm. and same thing with exercise, make it about you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not about, okay, I need to get into an exercise program because I need to get into this dress, or I need to get into an exercise program because I'm going to a school reunion and I need to look good for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get into an exercise program because you want to live longer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the goal for all of us is that, hey, we want to live as long as we can.
Not only
for ourselves, but for our kids,
mm-hmm.
so we can see our grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do it for the right reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's my little spiel. And like I said, you can, if any listeners have any, you know, questions or whatever, at justlikemefitness.com. Give me an email.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot me an email. I do a newsletter twice a month.
Where can they sign up for that? Tell people where to sign up.
Well, if they send me their email address, I'll put them on the email me. Just drop me and I'll say, Carol, I want to be on your newsletter list or whatever. They can just shoot me an email with the email address, you know, after, and I can add them to the database, and they'll start getting it.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. I thank you for coming on and for sharing your story with us, Mr. Fitness Angel. And I know that with you being part of this show, people all over the world, because that's where we are today. I laugh today when you ask me who else was going to be here
with
us. And it's just you and I and the rest of the world. So I am hoping that there's a lot of people who will see it fit to bring the fitness angel into their homes. So I just pray your continued success and that there will be a lot of other people to whom you will become the fitness angel. I just want to tell you, keep doing God's work. And it's just amazing to see people who believe in what God has created them to do and to just step out in faith and to make things happen. I look forward to the opportunity to have you back on the show to share all the amazing things that you are doing.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me, and like I said, I'm here for you and any of the listeners, and anytime you need me, you know, I'm just a phone call away.
Okay. Thank you. And I don't know if anybody else have a question. We are on 7 minutes to ending time. This is your time to ask the question. If you're on the phone, raise your hand and let us hear from you. If you're in the chat room, just type your questions and I will read it for Carol. And I want to remind you to join me on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. On March the 27th at 8 o'clock, I will be the guest on At Home with Victoria. I look forward for you to join me there. And also, I am looking for people who are interested in being part of the Dreaming Room. Shoot me a private email, either on my Facebook or on or tweet me or something on LinkedIn, because we only have 9 slots, and I'm looking for people who want to create extraordinary businesses. I am very excited about today's show because the spring is coming up, and if we are looking to be successful, we need to begin to look about our health. And it doesn't take a lot, as I learned today. In as little as 15 minutes, it can make a great impact in your life. For those of you that are saying, I don't have an hour to go to the gym and all of that, you check out EDU Fire and you will find out that you don't really need to go to the gym. And you can do it. It's a lot of fun. And you'll have the fitness angel by your side. Remember that you are created for greatness. Each of us came here with a destiny that was so designed for us before we were born. And I just pray that this show has helped you to ignite the fire and to get your adrenaline flowing so that you can step out and walk in the destiny that you were created for. I'll see you same place on Wednesday at 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and I'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place here. Follow your destiny. This is Dynamic Daphne saying, have a magnificent President's Day.
Showing me, I can sense my way through, and I begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way.